Foundations Lesson Number 17, Forgiveness, Part 4. Turning to page 2 of our outline, Roman numeral number 4 deals with making sure true forgiveness has taken place. This section has been designed to be completely practical. Here, you and I get to determine whether or not we've really forgiven. As we've already seen, there's a whole lot at stake. I don't know about you, but I've encountered many people over the years who said they had forgiven, but they actually hadn't. Maybe they knew it was the right thing to do in the eyes of God, so they claimed to have forgiven, but their demeanor and their attitude painted a whole different picture than the confession of their mouths. In our zeal to be right before God, we can even deceive ourselves. So let's take a very careful look at these 5 tests. They're here to help us. 1. Do you have a desire to bring it up again, or to talk about it? We can ask those questions because when God forgives you, He has no desire to bring up your past sins. We humans know what it is to exercise self-control. Maybe we feel like talking about something, but we know it would be the wrong thing to do, so we refrain. God's forgiveness isn't like that. When He forgives us, He does it from the heart, which is why He tells us that we have to forgive others from the heart. So if you still have that desire, that longing, that yearning to let the other person know how much they hurt you, to set the record straight, to point out their ungodly behavior, then you may have forgiven partially, but you still have a ways to go. 2. Can you remember the incident without any negative feelings? What about talking about it? Do you have any anger, resentment, revenge? Spiritual healing is taking place when the instant replay of our victimization is playing in the theater of our mind and we have lost interest in watching it. I imagine Joseph could have pictured the expressions on his brothers' faces when they threw him into the cistern or when they sold him into slavery to the Ishmaelites. But that wasn't an issue to him anymore. Why? Because God had a plan in bringing him to Egypt. And what was important to Joseph wasn't what his brothers did to him, it was what his God had done for him, bringing him to Egypt so that he could save most of the known world at the time from a deadly 7-year famine. Sometimes we don't really forgive, we just stuff our emotions lower so they don't bother us. But what's suppressed will eventually still come out. It's also important not to dismiss unforgiveness because it's small. I've heard people say, "Oh, it's just a little grudge." The size doesn't matter. What matters is the condition of the heart. I've never heard people say, "Oh, isn't that a cute little beastie? Isn't that snarl precious? Aren't those little fangs just adorable?" No, it's a beast. Kill it. If you don't, it'll grow up into a vicious, ferocious, destructive monster that will eat you alive. Deal with it. You'll be glad you did. 3. Can you thank God for the lessons learned in the pain? Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Can you thank God for the good things He was doing for you in the midst of your suffering? If you don't know what those good things are, ask the Lord. He'll show you. We tend to focus on our pain, but as we submit ourselves to God, the pain, the trials of this life, have a way of transforming us into Christ-likeness better than just about anything else can. Romans 8:18 says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Remember, God never wastes your tears. Whatever pain you suffer is producing in you an eternal glory that far outweighs the pain, and it's not even close. And we should also remember that God feels our pain more acutely than we do because He is holier than we are. Everything that has ever happened on this earth first had to pass before the throne of the Almighty for approval before it could happen. That means that every pain, every trial, every hardship you've ever faced had to pass before the throne of the Almighty for approval before it was allowed to come your way. There are a lot of trials and hardships that may want to come into your life, but God says no to them. Why? Because He only allows those that'll be of benefit to you. He does everything in your life for your good. So when God does say yes, there's always a purpose for his allowing those things. There's always good that will result. We need to thank God for all the good he does for us in good times and in bad, in pleasure and in pain, in joys and in sorrows. If you can honestly say that you're grateful for the lessons learned in the pain, then you've already experienced one of the evidences of true forgiveness. 4. Have you accepted your part of the blame for what took place? Now, I suppose it's possible that you were 99.9% innocent. Very rarely that does happen. But we tend to be much, much more sensitive to the pain we're experiencing than we are to the pain we're causing. When was the last time you intentionally thought about how it must have felt to be in the shoes of the other person, to be on the receiving end of what you had to say with the tone that you used? By nature, all of us are insensitive. We tend to think a lot more about me than we do about the other people that are involved. It takes work. It takes being intentional to become sensitive. I can remember a few incidents from my past that were terribly painful for me, but thinking about it years later, I could see that 85% of the reason that I was treated so badly was because I'd been very insensitive. I didn't see that at the time, and unfortunately, I didn't even try to see that at the time. But if I'd have made the effort to try to feel what the other person was feeling, the situation would have been healed much more quickly. Many years ago, after a church service, a man came up to me to get some advice. He informed me that he was experiencing relational conflict. When I asked him several questions, he admitted that it was 5% his fault. So I encouraged him to repent before God for what he had handled badly and then to go to the other party and apologize for what he had done wrong. He flat out told me that the other party needed to apologize first because it was 95% their fault. So I asked him, "Do you want to be right with God or don't you? God will never hold you responsible for what the other person did wrong, but you'll have to give an account before the Almighty for every careless word you have ever spoken. What kind of verdict do you want when you stand before God's judgment throne?" He didn't like that answer. Hopefully, after he left the church that night, he changed his mind and did what was best. Either way, all of us need to accept our part of the blame for what has happened. 5. Are you praying for those who hurt you? Do you have a desire to bless the offenders? Why do I ask that question? Because God wants to bless them. He's impartial in his love for people. If you're in the process of forgiving, I would encourage you to pray blessing over the people who've wronged you. Continue to pray blessing over them until you can do it wholeheartedly, joyfully, without hesitation or resentment. When you go through these 5 tests to determine if you've really forgiven, the goal is not to feel good or bad at the outcome. That's not the issue. The issue is that we have to find out whether we're pleasing God or not. If we discover that we've come to the place of true forgiveness, we can be very grateful to God for having worked that grace into our hearts. We acknowledge his goodness to us and rejoice in the outcome. But if we find that we haven't forgiven or we've only forgiven partially, we can still rejoice and we need to rejoice. Why? Because now at least we're aware of it. Let's remember, it's the truth that will set us free. If we discover the truth that we haven't really forgiven, now at least we can ask God to deal with what we know is inside of us. So how do we handle unforgiveness when we discover it in our hearts? As I've said before, there's a part that belongs to God and there's a part that belongs to us. We cannot do God's part and he will not do our part. It's our responsibility to have the vision, the passion, and the commitment to be totally free from unforgiveness. We need to hate what God hates and love what God loves. We need to be in agreement with God's heart. We need to feel as strongly about the sin of unforgiveness as God does, and we need to cry out to the Lord in our desperation, asking him to change us. He is in the life transformation business. So our part is to desire for all we're worth to be free from the unforgiveness, thus pleasing God. God's part is to change us. We're totally incapable of changing ourselves. Just like a broken toy cannot fix itself, so also we sinful human beings cannot make ourselves holy. Only God can do that. So as we do our part and ask and trust God to do his part, he'll take care of business. He'll change us into people who have forgiven from the heart. When I was in my 20s, I was in a situation that was extremely difficult and very painful. That situation lasted about a year and a half, and I was treated very badly by a small group of people. When I left that situation, I was committed to forgiving them, and indeed I had forgiven to the best of my knowledge and my ability. A few months later, I had to battle with unforgiveness all over again. So I prayed and trusted God until my heart was clear again. To my surprise, this kept on happening once or twice a year for the next 5 years. As I look back at that incident, I believe God was bringing me into complete forgiveness, just like someone might peel an onion, one layer at a time. I don't claim to understand all the intricacies of the timing of God, but some matters require more time to heal than others. Our job is simple, though. Whenever we find that there's unforgiveness in our hearts, we have to let God deal with it. If we just do a really good job of submitting to the Almighty, He'll take care of everything else. Extending true forgiveness may not be easy, but it's always worth it. Amen. God bless you all.